It's alive, amen. It's alive. Jesus is alive. Forever is alive. Amen. He's alive, amen. He's alive. Jesus is alive. Forever he's alive. Amen. He's alive, amen. He's alive. My Jesus is alive. Forever is alive, amen. You are the mighty God, the great I am. Alleluia, alleluia. You are the mighty God. Thank you, Lord. The great I am. Oh yes, alleluia. Oh alleluia. You are the mighty God. The great I am. Alleluia. Alleluia. Father of all spirit, he that is, he that was, and he that is to come, the one that sits upon the throne, you have made heavens your throne and the earth your footstool. You rule over the affairs of men. There is nothing that is hidden before your eyes. You are the Almighty God. You are the one that clothes yourself in glory. No one is like you. You are the greatest. You are the most holy. You are the Alpha. You are the Omega. You are the first and the last. You are the one who laid down your life for the sake of love. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. I humble myself under your mighty hands. Speak your word to us. Prepare our heart, O God, to receive your word. And at the end, let your name be praised. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. And the church say a big amen.
Amen.
Put your hands together for Jesus and for these wonderful people. Hallelujah. Someone very close to me in the church has called me a troublemaker. And she's smiling at the back. So I'm going to do a wee trouble this morning. Please look at your neighbor beside you. Make sure you're looking at the person. Say, neighbor, could you please smile? Is the person smiling? Tell me if the person is not smiling. Trust me, I will get there. By the time I smile at the person, he or she will smile. Is the person smiling? I then ask the person, do you know why I asked you to smile? Ask the person, ask your neighbor. Do you know why I asked you to smile? Has he given you any answer? No answer yet. All right. Tell the person, because I know Jesus loves you. Tell that person. Oh, lovely. Then put your hand on your chest. Say, I am who God says I am. Do that with boldness. I am who God says I am. I am not what the government of this nation say I am.
I am not what the government of this nation
says. I am not what my condition says I am.
I am not what my condition
I am who God says I am. I am a child of God. Put your hands together for Jesus. He's worthy. Amen. I know I'm a troublemaker. Please don't mind me. Hallelujah. First, I want to give thanks to God for the leadership of the church, Thomas and every member of the leadership of the church for their great support. And I mean, it has been very, very good under the very able tutelage of the Holy Spirit through my brother and friend Thomas. Thank you very much for your support, your guidance, and for all of us, all the families that have been of great support to myself and family. My prayer is that God will continuously support every one of us in Jesus' name. We want to look at God's words this morning, but before we do that, let me just quickly pray for us. Father, we thank you for the privilege to share your word. We ask that the entrance of your word give us light, gives us understanding, be a blessing to us, and your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. Please join me in this very smooth journey. Buckle up your seatbelt. Make sure that your driver's license is intact and it's not expired. Amen. Because we are going to be doing a lot of driving. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. I bring God's words to us this morning with the title that says, "And God said." And God said what? That's what we are going to be looking at. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3 say, "And God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." But before we go into that in details, I want us to first understand what darkness is so that we can best appreciate what light is. Amen. So before we look at light in that context, I want us to look at darkness and what darkness represents and why God was not interested in it. To bring to your notice, there was darkness before light. And God saw darkness, but God was not interested in darkness. God wanted darkness out of the way so that light may come. If you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, I read from here. The Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Verse 2 says, "The earth was without form and void." I want you to hold that in one part of your hand. "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water." So it won't be a bad idea if I describe darkness in general context as the absence of light. I could, by dictionary explanation, darkness is just the opposite. It's the absence of light. But I want us to just pay a little more attention from what the Bible passage says here, that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. So you could describe darkness. Bible scholars have said that position was a position of a place that is empty, that the world was empty, that it was without form and void. So that could also connect to a place that is an hopeless situation. That could also mean a place that is a place of confusion, because there was nothing actually happening before light came. So you could term darkness as an hopeless situation, a shapeless situation, a situation that is formless, a situation that is of no significant meaning, a situation that God himself was not really interested in. That's why in verse chapter 1 and verse 3, because all that was in place, God said to himself that, "Look, this is not actually of any good." And he said, "Let there be light." So God was not interested in darkness. God was interested in light. Please follow me on this journey. So God wanted this thing, so-called darkness, whether it's shapeless, whether it's formless, whether it's hopeless, whether it's of no shape, whether it's of no form, God was not interested in it at all, and he wanted it out of the way. I bring to you this morning that in the same likeness and fashion, God knew that without sending Jesus to us, without sending Jesus, the light of the world, according to John chapter 8, verse 12, John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus again said, spoke unto them in that John chapter 8, verse 12, that I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whosoever follow me will not walk in darkness, but we have the light of life. My life and your life and every one of us wouldn't have amount to any good without God sending Jesus to us. The good in us, for some of us who have come to faith, is because we have the light in us. Remember, the Bible said, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that it was good. Good only came after light came. Is somebody with me in church this morning? Good can only come after light. So God knew that for us to experience good that initially planned for us, Jesus has to come. For us to really get grip of good, the light of God has to come. And Jesus made it clear that he is the light of the world. So the good in some of us that have come to faith is because we have received Jesus Christ. And God knew that sending Jesus to die and resurrect on the third day, that is the only way darkness can be got rid of. And this world, we have hope and we have that which God initially planted or wished from the beginning. So why is light important? That God was not interested in darkness. After all, he's the Almighty God. He has every power. He can do anything. He can, even in darkness, he has every power. Remember, he's the Almighty. That's why he's called not only mighty, Almighty. He has all the might. He has all the power. So he could do anything. But God knew that light is important. So why is light important? Number one, light is important because it is in light that you can see. Is somebody with me this morning? It is only when you have light that you can see. Remember, Genesis chapter 1, verse 4. The Bible says, and God saw. Tap your neighbor and say, God also sees. Tap your neighbor, tell him, God sees. And God saw. But before light came, the Bible never recorded that God saw anything. But after light, the Bible says, God saw. So it is in light that you can see. Life will become very challenging, very difficult without light. Light will become life itself. I mean, will become very challenging. If you have problem with sight, life will become very difficult. If there is no light, I give you a wee example. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If you are kept in a room and all the doors were shut, the power is turned off, no ray of light coming in from the window, and all the curtains are closed. It's completely dark, and you are being given a task. Okay, please arrange this place or set the tables. Your guess is as good as mine. The person will eat his head from one corner of the room to the other because he can't see. So sometimes in life, we struggle because we can't see. Because there's still an absence of light. Because we truly cannot see that the Son of God, the Son of righteousness, the light himself, is being offered. We could not just see because the curtains are shut. The doors are shut. Darkness is there. So it is in light that you can see. It is in light that you can see the purpose of God for your life. Until Jesus comes in, you are just going to struggle. Because you do not know his purpose for you. It is that light that evaporates darkness. It is that light that shines. And darkness, we just give a salute and get out. Because it can't stand it. Amen, someone. So you need the light to see. You need the light to see. You need the light to see what God's purpose is for your life. Why is light important? Number one, it is in light that you see. Number two, why is light important? It is in light that you see what is good. They are very similar but different, Pastor. It is in light that you see. See what? See what is good. The Bible says, Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, and God saw, he did not only see, he saw that it was good. Hello, someone. Are you here? It is in light that you see, number one. It is in light that you see what is good. Light differentiates from good and bad. That's what part of what light does. Light is a differentiator of that of bad and good. So it is in light that you see what is good. You can never see what is bad in darkness because you think it's normal. I give you another example. If you are in a room, I'm doing a lot of examples of rooms these days. If you are locked in a room, again, and for one reason or the other, the whole place is dark, the windows are shut, no ray of light, and for one reason or the other, a lion is being sneaked in. Into you. Don't be scared. There's no lion here. A lion is being sneaked in, and you know how lions walk majestically. And you don't, you know, for yourself, because you can't see, the whole place is dark. You might just still be snoring on your bed, feeling cozy. But wait a minute. Let them turn on that light. Pastor, that scripture will be fulfilled. The Lord make a way when there is no way. And all of a sudden, the light is put on. Boom! Oh, my God. You will ask God that scripture that says again, let there be a way when there is no way will be fulfilled in your life that day. Why? Because before then, it was dark. You think everything is normal. So once that light is put on, you can truly see where you truly are in life. Is somebody with me this morning? Until that light comes, before you know whatever you are doing, if it's bad or good, before light comes, you will think everything is normal. You know, I don't know if you've been in any of these situations that you go and speak to someone. Jesus loves you, brother. Give your life to Christ. I don't know if it's only me. Some will look at you as if you have a problem. Have you ever been in that shoes? They will look at some, will look at you with pity. Oh, this one has also been brainwashed. Oh, sorry. They will look at you with so much pity that some will even say, I think you need help. Who needs help here? They will look at, I don't know if it's me. Have you not been, has anyone not been? They will look at you as if you need help. But the truth is they can't see. As 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I think verse 18 said, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. To them, you are being foolish. You are brainwashed. Because they are in darkness. Until light comes, that's when they truly see. What? Is this the life I've been living? Is this the bad I have been? So light is the exposer of darkness. Light exposes darkness. So number one, I told you, it is in light that you see. Number two, it is in light that you see what is good. You will never see what is good. If you are not in light, you will think everything is just perfect. Oh, I just want to, I mean, get drunk this Friday. It's normal to get drunk. I don't know what, I was told the particular phrase that if you want to get drunk in Scotland, you say, come again? Please go ahead.
As a wasted.
Smashed. I just want to get smashed. Please don't get smashed. Don't get smashed. For some, it's normal. Number one, I told you, it is in light that you see. It is in light that you see what is good. It is in light that you get direction. Put that down as your number three. It is in light that you get direction. If you are in darkness, you will never know the path to follow. Psalm 119, verse 105. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. It is light that tells me where to go and where not to go. It is light that tells me what to do and what not to do. If everywhere is dark, finding your direction might be difficult. If you're driving at night, and for one reason or the other, you don't usually have that here in this part of the world, and there is no street light, for example. There's no street light on the road, and for one reason or the other, your headlamp is damaged. If you are driving like that here, I will tell the police to come after you. But for one reason or the other, your car lamp head is faulty. And you are driving at night, no street light, no form of light for you to get to where you are going. If you are not careful, you might end up in somebody's garden. Huh? Yeah. Because you can't see. Or you end up in somebody's living room. I said, what? Because you can't see. So you can't find your way. So also in life, without the light, it's difficult for you to see what path God has designed for you to follow. So I've told you this morning, it is in light that you see. It is in light that you see what is good. It is in light that you get direction. I pray for us that as we journey through life, that the light of God will guide our steps, will guide our path in fulfilling God's purpose for our life. In Jesus' name, please say amen. Amen. So who is this light? I've been talking about light, light. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You know, this statement is very categorical and emphatic. You know, Jesus is not just trying to be the light. It's not, you know, one of those statements, Jesus the humble, Jesus born in the manger, Jesus the cool guy, Jesus that we always say, go tell the priest that this, don't tell anybody. Jesus that we ask the disciple, who do men say I am? But in this case, he reveals his authority. I am the light of the world. So it's not what you can miss. He's very categorical and emphatic about it. You know, some other places you say, who do men say I am? But in this case, say, I am, in case you are missing it. I am. Not me anyway, sorry. Jesus is the light of the world. So he's not missing either. And you know the interesting thing? This Jesus is not only the light of the world. He is the light of men. John chapter 1, verse 4. He said, his life is the light of men. Is somebody with me this morning? The life of Jesus. Jesus being the light is not only the light. He is the light. His life. The life of Jesus is the light of yourself and myself. So all I've been saying that this Jesus that died, smashed darkness, resurrected on the third day, seated at the right hand of the Father, that still comes and judge the living and the dead. He is the light. He is the light. This same Jesus that gave himself, no one took my life from me. I lay it down by myself. This same Jesus is the light of the world. And it is the life of Jesus that gives light to everyone. So, I've told you the importance of light, who the light is. How do I receive this light? The jailer said to Paul and Silas, in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31, say, what can I do to be saved, to receive this light? That's what it means. As I go on quickly, I may be using light as Jesus, Jesus as light interchangeably, but they are the same. The jailer told Paul and Silas, Acts chapter 16, 30 to 31. He said, what can I do to be saved? What is the step do I need to take to receive this Jesus in me? And they said, believe. 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 And I tell you this morning, all you need to do to get along, to tag along with this light, is believe. Believe that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus was raised on the third day, that Jesus is risen, is seated at the right hand of the Father, that Jesus is that light that will give you that direction that your life needs. Paul and Silas told them, tell the jailer, he said, believe. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, he said, with your mouth, you confess. He said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will have the light. You will receive the light. So if you are here and you are saved, you have the light, congratulations. But if you don't, please don't postpone it. The Bible says today, not tomorrow, is the day of salvation. Speak to someone after the service. Don't push it to tomorrow. Why? The world is full of darkness. Don't partake in it. Today is the day of salvation. So if you want to do that after the service, please speak to someone who will be willing to guide you through that process. So I've told you the importance of light. I've told you who this light is. And I'm also going to tell you what is the benefit of receiving this light. I love Peter. Sometimes I used to think I have the character of Peter. The guy, Karim is saying yes, because I trouble her a lot. Peter is a smart guy. He told Jesus, Master, I have a weird discussion. I have left everything, in case you forgot. Everything, even fish, which is my profession, I've left. What's my benefit? Smart guy. It's not a bad idea to ask him. Hello? Hello? I don't think it's a bad idea to ask Jesus. Because some of us were actually coming from one part of the world, one part of life, I mean. We were in darkness before. And some of us enjoy what we were doing in the dark. So if you are coming to light now, I don't think it's a bad negotiation with Jesus. Master, what's on the table? Hello? Hello? One of the important things that you will benefit from having the light, you become the light. Is that not interesting? One of the benefits, among many others, of you receiving the light, you too become the light. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. No wonder the Bible says that we are transformed We are changed into the same image. You too become the light. You not only receive the light, you too become the light. You too become a carrier of his glory. You become that light. A songwriter says, I like singing even though I don't have a good voice. Please, so pardon me. When darkness had the sight of light, evaporated at the glimpse of light, Jesus is the light that make my face shine bright. As I look his face, I become the light. When darkness had the sight of light, evaporated at the glimpse of light, Jesus is the light that make my face shine bright. As I look his face, I become the light. So you become the light yourself because Jesus has made you life. What is another benefit? You become light to others. You not only become the light. Jesus said in that same Matthew chapter 5, verse 15, he said, nor do they light a lamp and put it under the bushel, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So you not only become the light, you become light to others. Do we understand what I'm saying? I give you another example. If I turn off this light, I will actually struggle to see what is on my note. But if I turn on this light is not only beneficiary to me, but to people here. Do we understand what I'm saying this morning? So you not only receive the light to become the light, your light also becomes light for others. And what do I mean by that? You become an example of good works. That's what that scripture means. You become an example of good works. And you can find that in the life of this church. Sometimes it humbles me when you see people dedicate their time. And I'm very sincere. That's one of the things I'm learning here. How people selflessly, Pastor, dedicate their time, their resources. Somebody is on the bike riding for, I don't know how, for close to 7 or 8 days now. 15. It's humbling. Example of light to others. It's riding. He is a light riding on that bike. But that light is not only for himself, but it's a light to others. An example of light to others. So when you take in the light, you become the light. You become light to others. Amen, someone. Amen. You become light to others. What do I benefit? Your Father in heaven takes the glory. He said in that same Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, in the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. So as you began good works, as people see the light of God in you, the glory goes back to God. So that's one of the benefits. And number 4, which is the most important, you have eternal life in your bag, which is the icing on the cake. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. So one of those benefits is that you are sure, because the light is in you, because you have received Jesus. All other benefits I've mentioned are just fringe benefits, as they call it in the financial world. They are just toppings on the cake. But the major is that you have eternal life, which no man can take from you. A place where there is no sorrow. A place where there's no electrical bill. That thing scares me, bills. A place where there is no crying, no weeping, no changing of weather, no 5 weathers in a day. I didn't say that, please. I mean, wouldn't that be a good thing to have in your bag? Settled. So those are, I've told you, one of the benefits, you become the light. Two, you also be light to others. Three, you give glory to your Father in heaven and you have eternal life. I'm trying to rush with my time. It is also important. I've told you about the benefit. I've told you about the importance. I've told you who the light is. It's also important to maintain the light. And that's where a lot of people miss it. What do I mean? It's also important to stay safe. It's also important to maintain the light in you. You don't say because you have received the light, keep living your life carelessly. Just, oh, you know, there's this preaching these days. Some of us are still old school, and I think I like it that way. That once you are saved, oh, grace has covered you. You can go on doing whatever you like. You can go on being smashed or smashing. That no, you are saved. Grace has covered you. For some of us, no. Because we believe what the scripture says. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. I read the King James Version. What shall we then say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul said, God forbid. So you don't say because you have the light, you just keep living. You need to maintain the light in you. Because if you keep on living the life that you were living before, you are just doing exactly what Peter said. In 2 Peter chapter 20, verse 22. 20 to 22, I want to read that. 2 Peter 2, 20 to 22. For if after you have escaped the defilement, I think Thomas, you were saying something like that this morning. If after you have escaped the defilement of the world through the knowledge of our Lord Savior, if after you have escaped darkness, through the knowledge of light of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they again entangled. In other words, some translations say, goes back into them and overcome. The least state has come worse than the first, for it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it and turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. 22 say, the true proverbs says, what the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returned to his own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returned to wallow in his mouth. So you can't say, because I'm saved, you keep living your life. So how do I maintain the life? Number one, you follow. I want to run quickly with this. Number one, you follow. Last week, Alan was talking about being following. I didn't look at his note. So you need to follow. And how do you follow? Jesus said, John 8:12 again. Again, I say unto them, I am the light of the world. Whosoever follows, follow him. You must follow him. You don't say, Lord, nah, Jesus, you know what? I've given my life to you, so you go this way, I go that way. We are cool. We are good. Everyone is fine. Go down. No. You follow. You follow what he does. You follow his precept. You follow his you follow the things he does. You follow what he has laid down for us to do. Because what you follow will determine what follows you. Did you get that? What you follow will determine what follows you. Remember Peter. Remember Peter and John, Acts chapter 4, verse 13. When the people saw them, they saw the boldness of Jesus in them. And the reply of the people were, I think these guys have been with Jesus. I think the boldness we see in these guys, it's only Jesus that can demonstrate such boldness. So you follow him. So one of the ways to maintain the light is to follow him. Stay focused on him. Number two, You stay focused on him. Get glued to him. As the Bible says, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, say, the light of the body is the eyes. If therefore the eyes be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore thy light is indeed is darkened, how great is that darkness? So you stay glued to him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Number three, quickly, you abide in him. You abide in him. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 4, abide in me. I love these scriptures. Abide in me. Don't go outside me. Don't go around me. Don't jump around me. Abide in me. And Jesus said, once you do that, I will abide in you. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit, your light cannot shine by itself. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. As the branches cannot bear fruit of itself, unless he abides in the vine. Jesus is the vine. And he said, neither can me or you, unless we abide in him. Your continuous shining as a light will be guaranteed by you remaining plugged into Jesus. I want to repeat that. Your continuous shining as a light of Christ, as a representative of Christ here in the land of the living, it will be determined by how you remain plugged in to the socket of Jesus. If I remove those sockets away from the source of power, that instrument goes off. A lot have removed themselves from the source. A lot have taken away themselves from the source. Jesus is the light, remember. So for you to keep shining, you need to remain plugged. You need to remain plugged and fixed into the source of power. That's the source of light. For him to continually give daily. Remain plugged in to Jesus. And as you do that, your light will keep shining. This morning, I want us to pray as I round up. I told you at the beginning what darkness connects to. As theologians have said, I'm not one. A place that is empty. It's possible that you are feeling empty. A place of despair. It's possible that you are feeling despair. A place of emptiness. A place of you cannot just see anything good coming out of it. It's possible that you are just in that very situation now. That you look, I don't think anything is going to turn. It might even be your health. But one thing I can guarantee you, if you open your heart to the light and allow him to come in, that is the game changer. Jesus is the game changer. Sebastian, are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. He has done it in my life. And a lot of people in this room, Jesus is the game changer. No matter how thick the darkness is, as Isaiah chapter 60 verse 2 said, the earth shall be closed in gross darkness. Darkness shall cover the people, but the Lord will arise upon thee. If you open your heart to him, the light of God will come in. Jesus will step in and be the game changer. Let's rise on our feet as we pray. I'm sorry I'm being disrespectful. If you want to sit, if you choose to sit, fine. But some of us that wants to pray this morning, we are going to pray this morning. During my quiet time, while I was praying, Pastor, I heard God by his Spirit said to my ears, you do not wish a situation away. I want to repeat that to you. You don't wish a situation goes away. If you are in any situation right now, you don't just imagine the situation will go away. How? When I heard God in this conversation while I was praying, I need to check to see if it's consistent with the scriptures. And I was being led to that same Genesis, that when there was darkness, did God wish darkness away? No. He said, let there be light. He didn't wish it away. He prayed it away. What you don't want, my friend, don't watch it. What you don't want, if you are in any situation and you don't want it, the power is within you. Don't watch that thing. Pray on it. I don't know where the scriptures have ever said we should wish something away. The disciples told Jesus, teach us how to pray. As Christians, we pray. We don't wish. Wishing is not enough. You pray that thing out. So I don't know what you are going through this morning. If you can have the prayers, whatever way you choose to pray this morning, I'm going to be leading the prayers from here. If you want to pray from your heart, it's fine. I don't mean any disrespect. If you want to pray out, I'm going to be praying it out from my belly. So if you want to join me, fine. And if you want to remain silent, no problem. Pray in your heart. God can hear you. But please make sure you are praying. Let's close our eyes and pray. Father, let there be light over our health. If you are going through any health issue, declare over it. God did not keep silent when there was darkness. He said something. He said, let there be light. Over that health issue, go ahead and tell the Lord, let there be light. Over my health condition, Lord, I pray your light there. Over that situation, I pray your light. Over my family, over that my son, over that my daughter, over that my cousin that have not yet come to faith, I pray your light. Let your light come. Let your light come. Let there be light over your job, over your business, over your career. Let there be light. Lord, breathe your light upon me. Breathe your light upon that situation. Let there be light over the nations of the world, full in darkness, over this community, over our schools, over those schools that doors are still shut to the gospel of Jesus. Let there be light. Let your light come. Let your light come. And in verse 5, verse 4 of Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says God separated. God removed light from darkness, because when light shines, darkness cannot stand it. So I want you to pray lastly. Lord, in my own life and in everything that that surrounds me, separate whatever looks like darkness. Remove darkness completely. God has the power if you tell him to do so. Remember at the beginning you said, I am who God says I am. I am not what this world says I am. I am not what the condition around me says. I am a child of God. And you are the light of the world. Separate me from every form of darkness. Thank you, precious Father. Remember what you don't want. Please don't be too sophisticated. Don't be too gentle. Don't watch it. What you don't want, if this is what you are going to live, what you don't like, don't watch it. Thank you, precious Father. Father, we thank you. We ask, as I pray over your people, joining my faith with every one of us here, that your light shine in every darkness around us. We ask that your light shine over that earth situation, over that growth in that body. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Over that growth in your body, let the light of God shine. Let the light of God shine. Over that depression, let the light of God shine to encourage you. Let the light shine. Let the light shine. Thank you, most precious Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We are going to bring up the band again. Thank you very much. And may the Lord bless you in Jesus' name.